Church, we are living in unprecedented times. It seems as though a shroud of darkness in light of COVID-19 pandemic is over us, with increasing cases being reported and the recent circuit breaker measures announced by the government. There's something that came out on the news I thought should share with all of us that brings a bit of light and humour even in the midst of all the negative news that we are receiving because of COVID-19. The news published by the Straits Times dated April 5th writes, "Horse on the loose was just trying to find its way home," says owner. "It was a sight to behold as a muscular white horse trotted next to cars at the traffic junction along Eng Neo Avenue. It was in fact trying to find its way home back to her stable." The 15-second video, which was posted on Facebook on Sunday, April the 5th, had at least 7,000 shares and more than 1,200 comments within 3 hours of being posted. Mr. Lim, who is the owner of a polo academy at Turf Club Road, said the horse was found within 20 minutes following her escape at 4 p.m. on Sunday. "Horses tend to know how to find their way back, and we are happy that she's all right," said Mr. Lim. Does the story of the white horse that came out in the news on Sunday, April the 5th, remind you of another white horse in the book of Revelation? Revelation chapter 19, the seer in the book of Revelation sees a white horse, and the one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. It is a picture of the last battle of victory in which Jesus, sitting on the white horse, goes on towards his final triumph. Church, this is what Easter is all about. It's about the resurrection and victory, and Jesus holds the key. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Father, we thank you that your word reminds us that faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes through the word of Christ. Lord, we pray that even as we look into your word, Lord, faith will arise in our hearts as a response to what your word says, that we may cast our eyes on Jesus, the resurrected Christ. Lord, fill our hearts with faith as we hear your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, let's begin by looking at Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 4. Just allow me to read a couple of verses for us. "When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, 'Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?' And looking up, they saw the stone had been rolled back. It was very large." We understand from Mark chapter 15, verse 42, that it was the day before the Sabbath when Joseph of Arimathea had asked for Jesus' body from Pilate, covered it with a linen shroud, and laid it in a tomb. Jesus' body was not embalmed due to the haste of getting his body to the tomb so that they would not profane the Sabbath. Would anointing the body of Jesus after 3 days would be a fruitless task? Not so for the three women who showed their devotion to Jesus to ensure that Jesus had a proper burial. Interestingly, they were the same three women that looked from a distance while Jesus breathe his last. They also followed Jesus and ministered to him while he was at Galilee. Wouldn't the three women have thought of getting the help of the disciples or certain men, certain strong men, to move the large stone over the entrance of the tomb? Perhaps in their eagerness to anoint the body of Jesus, it didn't occur to them to get the extra help. Verse 5 tells us, "And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed." During the time of Jesus, tomb robbers were active after burial. There were numerous cases of tombs being reused by others for a second pirate burial after throwing away the first body or the bones. Seeing the very large stone rolled back and the young man sitting there, the women would certainly be startled and the matter be a due cause of alarm. The three women certainly needed their eyes open to spiritual realities beyond the physical realities that they see. This is a common theme in Mark's gospel. Mark 4 verse 12 tells us, the people see but not perceive, hear but not understand. When Jesus foretells his death and resurrection three times, in Mark 8 to Mark 10, three times the disciples could not perceive the spiritual truth that the death and resurrection of Jesus was necessary. One commentator explains that whenever God acts, it must always be with sufficient ambiguity for us to need the interpretation of faith if we are to see the happening as an act of God. The young man dressed in a white robe and sitting on the right side would convey to the Jews of the first century that he was someone important. In Scripture, white robes are often clothing of heavenly beings, and to sit at the right hand connotes the idea of preeminence or authority. Thus, his supernatural character would be clear for those with eyes to see. The message that the young man conveyed to the three women was, and he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Do the three women have their spiritual eyes open to the truth that Jesus had been raised, just as he said to his disciples, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days to rise again? The ending of Mark 16 at verse 8 seems to convey that the women have not fully understood what the young man meant. Verse 8 tells us, "And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." How would the three women respond beyond their astonishment and fears? I'd like to propose 2 points for our reflection on Easter Sunday this morning. Firstly, the death of death. Secondly, the possibility of faith. I'll go to my first point, the death of death. The story of the resurrection is the story of God defeating death, thus the death of death, and helping his people overcome their fear of death. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 to 15 reminds us that Jesus himself shared in our common humanity, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Jesus assures his disciples that are not 2 sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Jesus himself, again, in the context of sending his disciples on a mission to proclaim the kingdom of God, said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 28 to 31, "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Jesus reminds his disciples of whom they should fear, that is the one who can destroy body and soul in hell. Church, there is ultimately nothing, no fear, if the ultimate fear in life has been overcome by Jesus. And this is the good news of Easter Sunday, of the resurrection. The fear of death has been broken in our lives through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. In light of the resurrection of Jesus, Christians can overcome our fear of death. I'd like you to just think with me, what is the worst case scenario that can happen to us? if a Christian dies from COVID-19 or suffers any life-threatening infection, it is not the end of the world because of the resurrection. During the course of my theological studies, I had to take a module in which we had to read up on contemporary theologians and theologies, such as Karl Barth, Pannenberg, and the like. One of the challenges of reading such books, going back to the original sources and plowing through the dense arguments, is to discern the organizing principle of the theologian. What is his central point? What is his central argument? For John Calvin, it's the sovereignty of God. For Martin Luther, it's the justification by faith. And for Karl Barth, it's the theology of the word. I'd like to suggest to us, for the early Christians and for us living in the 21st century, it is the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus assures us that the Christian faith and forgiveness of sins is possible. It's the highlight of the church liturgical calendar. The resurrection is a cause for celebration because it is the organizing principle of our faith. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, that if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. If Christ has not been raised, our faith will be in vain and we are still trapped in our sins. Thus, the powerful news, the wonderful news, as we are going through and dealing with the effects of COVID-19, death has no sting in our lives because of the resurrection. Hear these comfortable words from Paul the Apostle as he wrote about our final resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, 54. Paul says, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" The dawn of Easter morning lights a beacon of hope against the seemingly invisible darkness of death. The resurrection marks the vindication of God's love and life over a world torn up and turned upon itself through willful sin and rebellion against Creator God. You see, God is the loving ruler of the world. He created the world and made us rulers of the world under Him. However, we reject God by trying to run our lives our own way without Him. God called this rebellion sin, and God's punishment for this is death and judgment. Because of His great love, God sent His Son into the world, the man Jesus Christ. Jesus always lived under God's rule. Yet by dying in our place, He took our punishment and brought forgiveness. God raised Jesus to life again as the ruler of the world. Jesus has conquered death and now, in His resurrection, gives new life to all who turn to Him. The resurrection of Jesus demonstrates that God's first order purposes for creation will come to fruition. Life will yet reign over death. Decay will give way to transformation. And the time is near when death itself will be destroyed and God will be all in all. Followers of the resurrected Jesus do not spend their days cowering in terror, waiting to be victims of death. We are children of the resurrection, and the power of the resurrection already flows in us through the Holy Spirit. Paul says, "You do not receive a spirit that makes us slave again to fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship by whom we cry, Abba, Father." So these days, as we move around, as we abide by the government's guidelines, advisories in terms of how do we live in light of COVID-19, do so and obey the government in those areas, but do not do so do not try to think that you need to cower in fear that the virus is in every corner and you step out of the house, because sometimes we can live in such fear, such cowering fear, because we look inwardly to ourselves. But today, the good news is that through the resurrection of Jesus, He has helped us overcome every fear, especially the fear of death. According to Peter, God has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Because of the resurrection, we know that God's repeated word, "Do not be afraid," can truly be believed by us. Mark 16:8 ends in fear as the three women went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. On hindsight, they need not fear nor be afraid, because the resurrected Jesus has defeated death and the slavery that comes with those fears. In the late 1960s, while expecting their third child, Bill and Gloria Gator were going through a rather traumatic time in their lives. Bill was recovering from a bout of illness. It was a special period of anxiety and mental anguish for Gloria. The thought of bringing another child into this world with all the craziness was taking its toll on her. On New Year's Eve, she was sitting in their living room in agony and fear. The educational system was being infiltrated with the God is dead idea, while drug abuse and racial tensions were increasing. Then suddenly and quite unexpectedly, she was filled with a gentle and calming peace. It was as if her Heavenly Father, like an attentive mother, bending over her baby, saw his child and came to her rescue. The panic gave way to calmness and an assurance that only the Lord can impart. She was assured that the future would be just fine, left in God's hands. Shortly after the baby was born, both Bill and Gloria remembered that the power of the blessed Holy Spirit seemed to come to their aid. Christ's resurrection in all its power and affirmation in their lives revitalized their thinking. To Gloria, it was life conquering death in their daily activities. Joy once again dominated the fearful circumstances of the day. The theme of this Holy Week series, "For the Joy Set Before Him," rings true in the existential experience of Gloria. And it can be for us too, as we are going through fears in our lives in the midst of COVID-19. Maybe there are multiple issues that arise on a home front. But because of the power of the resurrected Christ, by His Spirit, He's able to come into those situations and turn it around for His glory. Those events in Bill and Gloria Gator's life gave rise to one of the most famous Christian songs of our time, "Because He Lives." In this song, which begins, "God sent His Son," they call Him Jesus, we are reminded that Christ came to this earth, and the purpose for His coming was that we might be able to face tomorrow with all the uncertainty that it brings. She also reminds us that God holds the future right in His hands and makes life worth living for all who trust in Him. The chorus of the song is an apt reminder for us today. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth a living just because He lives. On Good Friday, we were reminded of the unjust suffering of crucifixion that Jesus went through so that He may face sin in all its ugliness and bear on Himself the iniquities of us all. At Easter, we are reminded that Christ has risen and His resurrected power is effectually working in our lives, just as in the story of Bill and Gloria Gator. Because of the effective power of the gospel, or the power of Christ's resurrection, Paul talks about that power at work in our lives, in the lives of Christians. Particularly when Paul was writing, he was addressing the Christians in Corinth. And Paul reminded them, as they were going through tough times, they were going through persecution, they were going through times where they are challenged in their faith, as there were false apostles within the church, Paul reminded them, the believers, that in every way they may feel that they are hard pressed, but they are not crushed. They may be perplexed, but they are not despairing. They may be persecuted, but they are not forsaken. They may be struck down, but not destroyed. So we may ask the question, why? Why so? And Paul goes on to say, it is because the pattern of Christ's death and resurrection is at work in their lives. Paul says, we who are alive, we who are always caring, we who are alive are always carrying in our body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. Paul is speaking about a spiritual principle that I believe that if we apply it to our lives in this season of COVID-19, we are able to rise from strength to strength as we depend and rely practically on Jesus' death and resurrection. What this means is, as we surrender our lives daily, as we gather each day, now that we have a lot of time, now that we are homebound, as families gather, begin each day in prayer and surrender your lives by joining Jesus in dying daily to your fears and anxieties. That is the dying process that needs to happen in order for Christ's resurrection power to take place in our lives. There must be a trade-off, a dying each day to our fears and anxieties. So as we surrender our lives as families, as individuals, by joining Jesus in dying daily to our fears and anxieties, the resurrection power of Christ enlivens us and His life is manifested in our bodies. This is what Paul meant when he says that we are always carrying in our body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. And I pray that the death and resurrection of Christ will be an impetus for you as we live through the influence of COVID-19. His death and resurrection will give us the strength to overcome. Move on to my second and last point, the possibility of faith. The resurrection of Christ then opens up the possibility of faith in us. We often look for Christ in our daily routines, in what is familiar and expected. For example, in our devotions with God, attending church and cell groups, and certain ordered rhythms and patterns in life. But what if Christ chooses the unexpected way to reveal Himself to us, such as through COVID-19? Are we prepared and ready to respond to Him in all circumstances? What if COVID-19 is a test from God to see if we would exercise faith in Him, in what He could do? What if to see God working through COVID-19 requires spiritual eyes of faith beyond what we physically see and hear each day in the news? What if through COVID-19, God wants us to use this time to strengthen our family time together, since we will all be homebound for a month or so together, having meals together, praying together? This is the best time for us to strengthen our family bonds. What if through COVID-19, God wants us to humble ourselves and seek His face and repent and turn from our pride and self-sufficiency? What if through COVID-19, God wants us who have more to be a blessing to those around us, to the last, to the least, and to the lost? What if through COVID-19, evangelism through digital media will take on a new rhythm and momentum, resulting in more and more people hearing the gospel message? Church, may I encourage us to seek afresh what the Lord is saying through our present circumstances with eyes of faith. Jesus' resurrection opens up myriads of opportunities to bring the gospel and Christ's resurrection power to those who need it. We are called in Scripture to recognize the times and seasons, to be prayerful and to be watchful, to make the most of every opportunity, for the days are evil. I'd like to end my sharing with a reading from a passage in Mark's Gospel. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. It says, "And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, get up, he is calling you.' And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabbi, let me recover my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way. Your faith has made you well.' And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way." Jesus asked blind Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." Jesus' response then is, "Go, your faith has healed you." In contrast to the disciples and the three women that were at Jesus' tomb, who could not understand spiritual realities and were fearful and afraid, blind Bartimaeus wanted to see. He wanted to have his eyes open. So the reader in Mark, those who have eyes couldn't see, their minds couldn't understand, is open for blind Bartimaeus. And as he exercised faith in Jesus, he was healed. How about us today? Are you carrying a heavy burden because of the phase of COVID-19? Is your rhythm in life, your order in life being affected? Or are you cowering in fear because of what is going around? Are you living in paranoia because things are not within your control? I begin the sharing by saying that we are living in unprecedented times. But there's a greater truth today on Easter Day that because of the resurrection of Christ, there's no death, even physical death, that can prevent us from crying out and shouting out and claiming the victory that comes through the resurrection. So I invite you right now, as you are following me, to bow your heads in prayer as I lead us to respond to Jesus in faith. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that today is a new day. It's a new day because each year as we celebrate Easter Day, the resurrection of Christ, we are reminded afresh that Christ's resurrection has broken the fear and the cycle of death in our lives. And because it has broken the cycle of death in our lives, Lord, you are able to come into our hearts and lives right now to take away every fear, every anxiety that may be crippling us. Some of us may be living in cowering fear because of COVID-19. Some of us may be at a point where we may be challenged in our workplace. Some of us may have a salary cut. Some of us may be struggling with homeschooling duties. And there's many, many issues that could possibly arise. But Father, we want to come before you. And Lord, we want to focus our minds and hearts this morning on a singular truth, on the key point, the pivot of our faith, which is the resurrection. And Lord, we pray that the resurrection power of Christ will infuse our lives as we cry out to you, Lord, like blind Bartimaeus, we want to see. We want to see things from your perspective. We want to have our spiritual eyes open to see what you are doing to COVID-19. We do not want to live our lives just being afraid and just watching the news and making judgments based on our physical human judgment. But Lord, we want spiritual eyes to comprehend spiritual truths. Lord, we want our eyes open to see what you are doing. So Lord, in the days ahead, help us to exercise that faith wherever you have placed us. Help us to look for opportunities to make a difference, to be Christ, to manifest the power of Christ because of his resurrection to those around us, that the same power that raised Christ from the dead, that gives life to us, will also bring life to others. So, Lord, we pray, empower us, lead us, and give us the strength, give us the joy also on Resurrection Sunday to celebrate that Jesus is risen. So, Lord, we praise you and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 And God bless you all. Have a good Easter.